This is an encore presentation of The Night John Lennon Died on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll podcast. It's a pocket podcast episode of the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll, brought to you by Crooked Eye Brewing in the heart of Hatboro. Marcus, December 8th, 1980 is coming up on 40 years since that tragic day in rock and roll history when John Lennon was murdered. And you and I've discussed this many times, the event itself and circumstances surrounding it. But it was such a heartbreaking event for me that it took until last year for me to even be able to go up to Strawberry Fields, not far from the Dakota, where John was gunned down on that fateful night in 1980.
Former Beatle John Lennon is dead. He was shot a short time ago outside his Manhattan apartment building. He died at Roosevelt Hospital. Police have a suspect in custody.
Former Beatle John Lennon murdered in New York.
Got that old limousine, and they went inside the gate there, and then all of a sudden they heard 5-6 shots, and that was it.
Four cops pulled John Lennon out and put him into the back of a police car, and his mouth, he was bleeding from his mouth, and it was a terrible sight.
You know where I was that night, and some people who know us know where I was that night. It was a Springsteen concert in Philadelphia. The events were captured, I guess you'd say, by my production buddy Tony Maddox. And when I put the words down, he illustrated it and really, in a lot of ways, showed me how this podcast could sound with the work he did on my telling of the night John Lennon died. And it has been posted as a blog on our website, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to present it as a little podcast as we approach the 40th anniversary. But we just wanted to come in and present this little mini episode, I guess you'd say. It's a podcasting when it was still in its infancy. You got any thoughts you want to add?
You were at a Bruce Springsteen show. I was watching Monday Night Football when the news of John Lennon's murder were made public by Howard Cosell.
And were you watching with your folks?
I was watching with my father, and it's bizarre because I had just gotten Double Fantasy, like 2 or 3 weeks before. It had just come out.
Come out. Yeah,
November 17th or something like that was the release date, and I had listened to it. I still remember hearing Just Like Starting Over the first time, and I still remember hearing those songs on not only rock radio but top 40 radio, and how much I was hearing them in those first few weeks of the album. So I was really liking the album. And then all of a sudden, one of the most important guys ever in music that I had heard about was gone because of some crazy motherfucker.
That's all you can say about it.
Yep.
Really,
I'm not saying his name.
No, I never have and will never. Different times in our lives, different perspectives of the same event. I didn't know that you had been watching Monday Night Football with Dad when that came through.
Yeah, wow. 14 years old, so we were watching it.
Well, let's get a word from Crooked Eye and then come back and get to that original podcast here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. So much has been happening this year and changing at Crooked Eye Brewery, our sponsor for a long time now, Marcus. Since 2014, they've been pouring the cure for what ails you, but then they added craft cocktails, then they added ciders, and recently they opened the Crooked Eye Kitchen and Salty Vets Barbecue being served at the premises. You used to have to bring something with you, not just bring your appetite.
The long-term business plan of Crooked Eye has been very smart. Whatever they were going to do before the pandemic had to change drastically, and they've made the adjustments. And as we've slowly opened up, they've slowly continued to add and add and create more. And it's much to the delight of the people going in there all the time, because like you've said, every night's a party, a different kind of party over at Crooked Eye. It's
and
a random
sometimes
party.
What the music is, like the Blues Jam or the second Tuesday of the month with my vinyl night, which is anything you want it to be. The Crooked Eye Band and all the other performers who make it fun, Mafia, all performing. Check it all out. And the way to find out about who's playing when is on their Facebook. That's really the best way to keep up, but the website too, I guess.
So if you're looking for a place to go, make a plan, grab a friend, meet at Crooked Eye in the heart of Hatboro, serving you since 2014.
It's fall, and I know, Marcus, that you've got a ton of anecdotal stories about your feet and riding and running and all that stuff that you do in the fall. And I know Boldfoot socks are part of your regimen, right?
Absolutely. They wick moisture off your feet and keep them dry. I do wear the Boldfoot socks when I bike, and never, ever have I had swampy feet. And I've ridden on almost 100-degree heat index day, and my feet weren't
this
swampy.
Summer especially,
so,
right?
Yeah.
Whew.
I really like what they do. And another bonus is they're American made.
Boldfoot Socks is a company that Josh got into because he did a 100K thing. Who has time for that, man? He's amazing. So he goes and does his 100K in these Boldfoot socks, and the socks perform so well, he believes, and he's right, that these socks are really going to revolutionize footwear for people who work out and ride, especially someone like you who rides a lot on their bike.
And let's not forget, Josh did that like 100-mile run in the Nevada desert. That is gnarly and tough. And he donates portions of his sales to military charities, which is awesome.
So go check out their amazing variety of colors and styles. Great socks, and you can find them all at boldfoot.com. Thanks to them for their support of the podcast. As always,
Boldfoot Socks, American grown, American sewn.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Now that we are refreshed, Ray, what do you say we move more into the meat of the
matter?
The meat of the matter, yes. And share your podcast or your little moment where you retold your experience of the night John Lennon was murdered.
This was recorded about 5 years ago at the 35th anniversary of that night. And I haven't listened to it a lot. I noticed that it gets a lot of interest on our website. And I think I figured out why, because I re-listened to what we're about to listen to together in the last few days. And I realized how emotional my telling of my tale of the night John Lennon died is.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown.
And so we thought we should put it in a pocket podcast form, get it out to you guys so you can all hear it. We put you in the imbalanced time machine, grab a couple brewskis from Crooked Eye, and let's go back now and hear the tale of December 1980.
That month was filled with excitement in my world. I had scored tickets to see one of my heroes, Bruce Springsteen, and his amazing E Street Band. Just weeks before, the boss had released this treasure trove of amazing music that he called The River. These three shows were bound to be amazing, as I had purchased the maximum number of tickets for the last two nights and was going to be seeing the shows with the biggest Springsteen fans in my world. To top that off, I was going to cover the shows for my college station, WTSR in Trenton. So December 8th arrives, and we all pile into the car and head down 95. Me, my wife, our daughter Jessica, and our friends Alex and Nancy, and my brother Classic Joe. The show itself was amazing as Bruce pulled from his first four albums while making the double album The River the backbone of the night. Out of the gates with Born to Run, Prove It All Night, 10th Avenue Freezeout, and Darkness on the Edge of Town, and they were off to the races with an astounding 31-song performance. It was wild and sweaty, pure E Street Band. The leader of the band, he had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand, taming this untamable rock and roll beast, a Spectrum crowd. In the middle of the set, they played songs that I hadn't seen them play. Fire, Because of the Night, and the kickoff of any holiday season, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. High energy finish doesn't begin to describe the sprint to the finish with Jungle Land, I'm a Rocker, and a smoking Detroit medley, all giving every last ounce of energy the man had that night. After the lights came up, my gang settled in the seats while I went to phone in my report. In the days before cell phones, that meant loading one of the long row of pay phones with quarters and making it quick. So the studio line rings, and it's answered by our GM, Greg Berniker. Confused, I asked why he was working that night, and he said, "Where are you?" After I said I was at the concert and calling in my report, he stopped me and told me the news. John Lennon had been shot in New York City earlier and was dead.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy. Confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
As the shock of his words washed over me, I looked down the row and noticed the other people on payphones, most likely calling to tell their ride that they were ready to be picked up, were all in tears and hysterics. I babbled something to Greg and hung up. Returning to the seats, everyone was chatting and joking, and someone noticed my demeanor and said, "What's wrong?" I then had to tell everyone what I had just heard. I can't imagine the look on my face, but I remember their response as my words sunk in. We started the walk out and to the car silently, in contrast to the energy that everyone had been experiencing just 15-20 minutes before. As we reached the street, I heard Beatles music coming from a car, and the driver shouted, "They killed John Lennon!" I remember getting to the car and MMR was playing Dizzy Miss Lizzy, which still takes me back to that moment whenever I hear it. The ride home was a blur. My brother drove. The only thing I remember is my daughter quietly asking, "What's wrong with Daddy?" Someone in the back seat quietly explained, and all I really heard was, "Your dad's hero." The next day, I was on the air at 10 a.m. and started my show with the pronouncement of what we knew and then played Number 9 Dream. The phone started ringing. One young Trenton Stater asked incredulously, "What did you just say?" I told him the news again, and he confessed that he'd gone to bed early after studying the night before. The day went on with music and tributes and word that Yoko said that Bruce's concert in Philly that night should go on as planned. The boss would provide the salve for this gaping wound.
I'd just like to say one thing. I appreciate it. That it's a hard night to come out and play tonight. So much has been lost to music. The first record that I ever learned was a record called Twist and Shout. It was a beat. And if it wasn't for John Lennon, we'd all be someplace very different tonight. World, and you get asked to live with a lot of things that are just unlivable. And it's a hard night to come out and play, but there's just nothing else you can do.
The December 9th show was like a mega tent rock and roll revival. Bruce talked about the events in New York the night before and put on even more of an intense show, if that's possible, than the one on the 8th. Back-to-back Jungle Lands, making three in a row if you went on the 6th, would normally have been one of those unthinkably amazing occurrences and what most people would have been talking about. After repeating the same encore as he did on the 8th, the band left the stage, and after waving goodnight, Bruce began following them down the stairs. And about halfway down, there was a commotion below him, and the boss did a 180, and the band follows him back up. He said something about almost forgetting this one and launched into Twist and Shout. Say it up, baby. And over the next few minutes, it took that crowd to an otherworldly place, but also applied some serious first aid to 16,000 hearts, bleeding for the loss of a man who preached unity and peace, was felled by senseless violence. The revival then folded its tent and moved on to Providence. The first week of December, for me, for many years, saw clouds of gloom gather as the 8th approached. Over time, the heaviness of the anniversary lightened slowly at first. I know now that feeling if it shows up and can manage to work through it. But December 8th will always be a dark day. Now, almost 35 years after a day when evil won and peaceable people worldwide had some of their innocence stolen, we remember and look forward to a day when the world will indeed live as one.
Gets me every time, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you do a performance of something and you don't think much about it. And I remember hearing that this had originally gotten a big response as far as hits when it was first released. And I never really kept up on all that stuff. I didn't understand podcasting back then. And as I see how these things go, I'm glad that we put that out there in this episode.
Yeah.
I think it shares, for anybody in Philadelphia who went to those Springsteen shows, I think it shares a lot of the same commonality, and there's probably a number of people nodding right now who listen to us in the Philadelphia area that were there. It's one of those things, man. Just one of those strange places you were at a strange time in common shared experience life here in the 20th century, 21st century. Yeah.
But I was thinking about this while we've been putting this episode together, and you that night were at a Bruce Springsteen concert. The energy of a Bruce Springsteen concert is so feel good and dance and boogie and have fun and sing and rock and roll. And then to have this guy have to, who is one of the most upbeat, live, and amazing human beings when it comes to concert performances, has to bring it all down to a level that you're just like, holy fuck. And
well, the next night was the thing, you know, as they tell it in the story, you know, that we were all able to get together and somehow heal a little bit and process it a little bit together with this same common experience of the night before. So many people were there for both nights. It's something that if you experienced it, if you were there for those shows and those nights, you run into somebody and you can start talking about it like that. And I've had that happen. So thanks for letting me share this with everybody, Marcus. I know it's kind of a somber occasion, but also it gives us a chance to remember John Lennon and all we loved about him.
You bet. I'm glad that we got to share these stories, because everybody that was around at that time period has a John Lennon story from the night that he was killed.
So we'll catch you on the next episode. And we thank our sponsors, One CBD and Crooked Eye, for their support of everything we do here. I'm Ray Coob.
I'm Marcus in the Darkest.
And this is the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
Happy Christmas, Coco.
Happy Christmas, Julian.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over. And a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.